as is my normal habit, I print out everything that I want to say, so that may come across a little bit. I'll just be reading it off a sheet, but please forgive me. Okay, so this course, I'm just going to kind of review what I did previously, very quickly, and then talk about what I'm talking about, the new object that I'm talking about today. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Right. I just wanted to give a little bit of background to my how I've found the course as well. Just from my point of view, at least, I just wanted to say it's been quite an emotional roller coaster ride, really. Not only from day to day, but also from lecture to lecture and from minute to minute to lecture, to be honest. You can go from ecstasy to profound depression within a few seconds in various lectures. So, yeah, I guess that's true for all of us, I suppose. So, what I think it essentially shows is that I'm being challenged by what I'm hearing and what I'm learning. So that has to be a good thing when all is said and done. And I keep telling myself, when things seem insurmountable, when the tasks are sort of getting on top of me, that if I wasn't feeling that way, then I wouldn't actually be up against my limits. I wouldn't be progressing in that case. So enough of the kind of moralistic stuff. But there is, looking back at the first presentation that I did, it was very, I don't know if you remember what I presented, I had a DVD of Jack Tuffy's tape on, which was talked about my sense of humour, but also about architecture and modernism of a particular period. And then I showed some little Monopoly houses, which was about suburbia, where I grew up, which also fed into my sense of humour and things like that. I showed a little maquette of a sculpture, which was about lovely objects and about art as an object and lovely pieces of art as lovely objects, which is kind of what I was interested in. Then I showed, at the end I showed my iPod, which is about my music taste, that sort of thing. And then I also showed a couple of the artworks that I produced while I was at Middlesex University doing my Fine Art BA, which were little erotum slips for books and a redone version of Malevich's An Object as well, which I passed around to him. Today's objects are completely different. They're not anecdotal as such, they're more about specific things which have developed in this course, in the time of the course, so much more relevant to what we're doing day by day here. And things which I hope will develop as the term goes on, as the year goes on. So perhaps the main theme, or potentially problematic for me, of the last term was searching for a hook on which I could hang my own interests. And then lean on from that potential work that I'll be producing in the future. And only recently it's really started to become clear to me what that hook would be, what is what I'm actually connecting with intellectually on this course. And up until the end of last term, I think I was somewhat at a loss as to how it actually intersected with my own interests. The main problem being that I've never really been sure what my interests are, so it's been very difficult then to make a connection and think about progression from that connection. But that's always been a problem for me, that's my issues. So at the end of last term, I think a big kind of leap forward was the presentation we did for the lab, which I really enjoyed, which I did. And it clarified a few things for me. Certainly what I enjoyed most in the presentation was the analysis of the Boyce piece, going to the tape, watching people, thinking about security, thinking about the presentation, thinking about the wording that went on course and all that sort of thing that we talked about in the presentation that we did. And then leading on from that, and perhaps more pertinently, how I then represented that information in the, the diagrams that we put together and you know, how it was actually performed in front of you. So I think what I'm really saying is it's the performance which is kind of interesting me at the moment in connection with the writing. So starting with the writing and then the performance of the writing in front of people. Yeah, so, and this actually leads back to things that I used to do at Middlesex University on my fine art degree. I was writing then, and I was doing performances of those writings at the time. So kind of something that has followed through, in a sense. The actual object, there is no object as such apart from the performance, unfortunately. It's not an object, although I would treat the performance as an object in a sense. So rather than a physical object, here we have the performance as one of my objects, personal objects. As a parallel sort of thing, over the past few years I've been keeping a blog, which is a web-based journal, which has been just I've been writing posts about what I've been interested in, what I've been dealing with, stuff to do with the course, stuff to do with various other bits and pieces. So the second object is really the blog itself, because it's serving now as another performative performance space for me, leading on from the, obviously it's much more textual based, but also I've incorporated some of the diagrams that we used for the presentation last year, and it's becoming much more of a space in which to present the work and present the ideas as artworks, as performances, leading on from the physical performances in front of people. So those two things are kind of running in parallel at the moment in terms of my interests and things that I'm getting out of this course, for instance. And then the third thing is really the blog object. But if you want to go to the blog, then it's public. Anyone can read what's on there. I know some people already have things on there. The third and last object that I've done is actually it's kind of philosophy in general, and Blues and Guitari in particular. This leads on from the philosophy course that I'm doing within. Which is run by Alex Gutman and Sam McCullough last term. At first, I thought it was the biggest mistake I'd ever made, to be honest, to take that course. I mean, I wanted to do it originally to improve my knowledge and experience in the subject. I am very interested in the subject, but I really wanted to prepare for the obscurity of the teaching of that course. It was another language, really. And it was kind of quite disheartening to have to sit through lectures week after week and not really grasp what the point of them was.
Did the others grasp?
Well, not other than it was students that, yeah. I've spoken to a couple of the other students and they're all a bit. But, you know. I kind of felt. Again, going back to what I said at the beginning, I figured that I was learning something new. It was something completely other. I had to be getting something out of it at some point. And really what turned up was that it was Atari. We did a piece, we read a piece, we had a discussion about a piece a few weeks before Christmas, of the refrain, which is part of this book, 1,000 Passos. The lecture itself I was a little bit lost with, but since then I've been writing my essay on that particular section of the book, and in the process of a very close reading of the text, I feel that it's sort of becoming more relevant and more meaningful to me, which I think is opening my eyes to philosophy in general and the other things that we've done on that particular course. It's interesting, quite interesting, and challenging, very challenging. And it's a new way of thinking for me, and a new way of thinking about thinking, which is all kind of, you know, quite mind-bending at times, but I'm really keen to see where it leads me, and I think it's actually opening up quite nicely. So from last term, when I thought things were a bit difficult, I think things are sort of opening up now. Quickly conclude, my objects are really my writing and the blog. The second is the performance that I do, presentations and things like that. And thirdly, the philosophy represented by this particular book, the Dixon Guitari book. the implications of those objects for the future are really up for grabs. So I'm not exactly sure where they're going to take me. We will see. I think it remains to be seen. But it seems to be going well. It is blog.escdot.dot.
Dot com.
Yeah, if you want to visit, it's very well, it's all about me, so it might not be particularly interesting to anyone else, but it's.
We can put you in
the citation.
In one of my sources.
Yeah, your responsibility.
I'm wondering, can you expand a little bit on the sort of the progression from writing to performing and just sort of expand that point again and why that was the object?
Well, I've always been interested in writing as such, as a blog kind of. Makes apparent, which is a contemporary form of the writing that I've been doing. You know, obviously, it's only been a few years, but the performing, I was never particularly satisfied on leaving writing as writing, and I wanted to actually incorporate some kind of enunciation or talking. Whether in a didactic sense or whatever, but just in terms of trying to connect to people directly, I suppose. Writing is great, but it can be a bit sterile if you don't have maybe a one-on-one link to people, I think. So it's just, it seems to follow naturally from, I was never happy with just the writing, I wanted to be doing something more with it. Yeah. I mean, the blog in itself is doing something more with it in that it is a public arena, but you don't really know who's looking at it, whereas you stand up in front of people, you know exactly the reaction you're getting, I suppose. It's much more direct. I mean, that's really just a very basic performing thing, you know, why do people perform? Because they want to connect with people, I suppose, and get some kind of reaction.
How many visitors do you have an idea?
I don't know, actually.
Who visits the blog? Just one friend, or is it more?
Well, it depends on the blog. I mean, there are various types of blog. I mean, my particular type of blog is very personal and sort of would probably at the moment only have a very small audience of friends and acquaintances or whatever, people who would be told about it. Whereas there are other blogs which are much more news-based or technology-based. So it's a real, there are lots of technology blogs where people are commenting on issues to do with technology. There are lots of blogs about philosophy, to be honest, and theory and criticism, and there are a whole load of niches.
And these are accessible, and the other people access
them. Yeah, the blogging principle is public. It's just completely open to anyone to access.
But how would one know your address if one didn't have your name?
How would one know? Oh, RepSol. Well, you don't, to be honest.
So how does one access a blog of someone one doesn't know? How does one...
You can search on Google, things like that. There are other...
Yeah.
A thing called Technorati, which indexes blogs specifically. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then you can search on different subjects.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you've registered yours under what? Art, personal, or what interests? Or
yeah.
What
on
do
the
you... Like the keyword you use if I want to search.
You would look under art and philosophy and theory and art history and things like that, I suppose. But it's the problem is there are so many out there that it's very difficult to narrow it down to a specific one that you're looking for.
Yeah.
So the S.dot thing. In the middle of the main name,
mm-hmm.
is my kind of online name for everything that I do for about the last 10 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
So the easiest way to find anything that I've done is search for that. Obviously, that's not what people would know generally or be able to guess, but
so your brand doesn't actually appear.
It does appear on the blog, yes, it does. Yeah. But in terms of the brand, as it were, Espot Collie is what I use for, as a nickname.
But if you say you want to, the question is, why don't you want to count how many and track down the people who.
Yeah. Well, I can. I've got the statistics package for the website itself. But it's not very. It's a bit unreliable. It's a bit difficult to tell where people come from, basically. The internet is so.
It's not that exact, but it's amazing to see what part of London people do. Kind of scary, because if you decide to look at some of these blogs, it, you don't want them to know that you're looking at it, you have to go somewhere
else.
What's that
song for?
That's
blue. I don't know. I thought that it just came with blogs.
Yeah, well, it might come with. There are different blog systems.
Yeah, you need to pay for them.
Some of them you do. The one I've got is free. It's basically a bit of software that I have on my server.
But it's really weird because my friend has a blog that has sort of a radio show attached to it, and all of a sudden in 1 week he got like 200 hits from this place in Portugal, which means something. It means that somehow word has reached there and somebody said something on the radio about it. And it's really bizarre how many of these things just crop up in Poland and South America, and it's very
I'm truly another generation. It's all new to me.
I was wondering, you were talking about the blog as a sort of performative thing. But is the blog itself the medium or performative space for you, or is the way you are using the blog which makes it?
No, I think the blog in itself is performative space. I'm not using it in any way that a lot of other people are using blogs. The format is pretty consistent with other people's blogs, so it's the content is obviously different. But the actual, I'm not actually doing anything particularly different in terms of the way it's presented. It's the content which is kind of the important thing, and not trying to mask that too much by doing anything out of the ordinary, I suppose.
So it's not the writing itself which becomes performative.
Yeah, it is the writing, what it isn't.
It's a question. Is the writing itself which becomes
Right, yeah, that is the thing which is mediating myself with whoever's reading, rather than anything about a presentation on the screen or anything like that, which would distract, I guess.
And also, about the encounter with the Lezen Guattari. And I'm not sure if I understood, since you read the text, you are participating to the course in a different way, or did the text mobilize something?
No, it's more for me, I think, because the course itself is, it's kind of the course has changed slightly from last term. Last term it was Sam Cole was doing lectures each week on a particular text, him talking, little discussion, and this term is changed into Ax Duttmann showing videos, and then next week we're going to talk about the videos. So. So there doesn't seem to be much opportunity for. We'll see what next week turns out like, but it seems like it's a bit one way. But for me personally, it's what's kind of triggered things off. Allows me to.
Can you say a bit about the content? What is it? What was the content of the writing? What is it that got you interested in this particular piece?
It's a bit of a mental exercise in a sense. It's so complex. The way they're doing what they're doing. is forcing me to, you know, well, I mean, like I was saying, I'm having to do this very close reading of it, having to pick it apart, having to cross-reference all the kind of concepts that they're dealing with. And it's becoming kind of like a jigsaw puzzle or something like that, in that you're piecing together this philosophy that they have. And it's just very, I just find it very fascinating, the task of doing that. And not necessarily, I mean, it just happens that, I guess it just happens that Deleuze and Guattari have come along and have been the ones that have been the ones, have been the ones that have triggered that. But it's certainly, they're the ones that I've been able to get into much better than the Heidegger that we've read, the Dorner or the John Monsignor or people like that. There just seems to be something, they seem to be, I guess what they're dealing with has triggered something specific. But
if you don't want to say
well,
what they are dealing with, because that was my question.
Is that a specific question on the content?
Yeah, I mean
on the text. Right?
Well, the essay that I'm writing is about Of the Refrain, which is starting with music and also talking about painting, but then building up this theory of society, which is based on these ideas which apply to music and painting, and they privilege music quite heavily over painting, but the concepts sort of apply globally. You know probably a huge amount about this, so I'm being very careful about what I'm
saying. No, don't worry at all. I haven't read that. Shame on me.
Well, no. I haven't read the rest of the book, so shame on me. But
But I guess, in a way, rather than the content itself, it's the way they operate,
yeah.
It's the way they work that
is really
make something to you.
Yes, yeah. And it's like you can see there's a system there, and but you can't quite grasp it or something. It's that process of trying to get to grips with somebody's thinking.
Do you think they're relating to performance? In the way that, I mean, when you said you can see, I can, et cetera, I quite often can visualise what they're saying.
Yeah.
But I can't quite, I can write it down. But that was my first encounter with them, so I could really visualise these things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's some...
They're
the writer hopping around the room.
That's right.
They're definitely playing with their audience, I think.
What do you mean about performance of writing when you ask the question?
Maybe I'll talk about it a bit later.
Okay.
I like the way that you say that the obscure lectures make you think that there's something you must be learning. Very generously, you could just be bad lectures.
I find it positive. You can always learn something useful.